This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 146. Today, we are joined by Fred Chua of Magellan Solutions. This is a Filipino-owned call center. It's been going since 2004, which is the early days of Philippine call centers, but specifically he's been focusing on the SME market. So it's really quite an early player in that space. Fred has a lot of experience in the sector, so it's a really good conversation that we have. I certainly enjoyed it. So if you want to get in touch with Fred or want to know any more about this episode, then go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/146. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, I'm joined by Fred Chua of Magellan Solutions. Hi, Fred. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How about you?
Fantastic, fantastic. Glad to have you on board. And Fred will obviously introduce himself a lot better than I can, but he is the founder, CEO, and director of Magellan Solutions, which is a Philippine-owned call center, but also a general BPO service offering as well. So thanks for joining us, Fred. And I suppose initially, can you just introduce yourself and how you came to be here today?
Sure. I've been in the call center industry for a long time. So I started off as a call center agent myself back in 2001. To be specific, worked in a company called eTelecare that was bought eventually by Stream Global, which was bought again. So now there's a lot of mergers and acquisitions. So I've been in the industry for a long time. We set up the call center back in 2003, 2004, and we were operating 2005 because I think we wanted to focus. Back then, there was only a handful of call centers, and mostly those are the huge call centers. Mm. And we wanted to focus on predominantly focusing on the small to medium-sized enterprises. So our call center is really focused on managing SMEs, really SMEs. So, we're currently a 600-seat call center operation. Majority of our business, around 80% of our clients, are US-based companies. The other 20% is actually Europe and Australia. So we do have capabilities for, multilingual agents as well. We're kind of like a generalist more so than a specialist. So we have like inbound, outbound, back office processes within the split of like the 50-40-10 split. And I guess that's it. That's kind of like where we started off. We started out with 14 people a long time ago. So a typical startup type of operation in a house that even had a swimming pool.
Right.
So we had a pool back then. And of course, naturally, we wanted to always keep a very good atmosphere in our organization. Family oriented, very culturally risk and culturally rich. And at the same time, we wanted to make sure that, we give a good atmosphere for everyone to really stay and grow. So,
fantastic. Yeah. And so you started in the call center industry in 2001. And that was very much the beginning of the industry in the Philippines. What was it like then? And what sort of changes have you seen in the industry as you've developed?
Yeah, well, I remember back then, back in 2000, 2001, most of the people that were working in the call center industry were the tier one top universities, people that have very, very good communication skills in, whether it be at Ateneo or LaSalle, the top, top tier schools. And of course, right now it has evolved since then. It has evolved to include a wider spectrum, more people to really apply and work in the company because, of course, the industry, I mean, because now, of course, the industry is employing around 1.2, 1.3 million. So essentially, there were a lot of improvements in the educational system to cater to the BPO sector. So they have focused primarily on improving people's communication skills to be a lot more, fluent and a lot more spontaneous. So that has evolved significantly. Before, their criteria for being in the call center industry were very, very high. It was very difficult. I actually failed one of my company. The one of the companies that I applied for, I actually failed because of typing skills. So.
But is that a sort of paradox? Is it because obviously as the the sector gets bigger, they need to open the net. But
Of
also,
course.
Back then, wasn't the call center industry, which really was limited to kind of call centers and basic functions,
Sure.
wasn't it sort of looked down on by the professionals
Of course.
Or certainly the professional graduates of these top tier schools?
Yep, it was. It was also the case as well. Of course, naturally back then when the industry started, you know, you can't really get a, you know, the probably a high paying job is, you know, earning like, you know, 10,000 pesos or something like that in the Philippines. And it was very difficult to get a high paying job back then, you know, although it was kind of like looked down on in a sense. But then again, they were offering relative to the industry, to the general, you know, recruitment industry, they're offering something significantly higher than what's offered in the market. So I think it started off that way. Of course, now people did have a negative perception on call centers, saying that, you know, it's a dead end job. There's really no progress after that. But you know what? To be honest, amongst all the industries in the Philippines, it has the biggest potential, biggest growth potential, because it's the only industry that has 15-20% year on year growth potential. So if we started off at, you know, a couple of thousand, and now we're pretty much what, 4 or 5 million overall, it has a huge impact on the industry. So people that are working there has have a much broader corporate ladder experience that they can sort of like jump up on, you know.
Yeah. And of course, back in 2001, there wasn't really that corporate ladder because the industry was so new. But now, kind of 20, 25 years later, there's the whole range of executive functions and talents and experiences. And this is what I try and remind people of, you know, in the West, like potential clients, that if you come and outsource in the Philippines, you're really buying into 25 years executive experience, and you might get a, you know, young kind of kid doing your customer service, but there's a backup there of the 25 years of professional experience that the Philippines has, versus a lot of these newer outsourcing destinations where there's just not the level of sophistication.
Yep. It's very mature. I think right now, based on my experiences, because I've been pretty active with the industry itself, with CCAP and IBPAP, and all the other and the ICT as well, is that other countries are actually starting to benchmark with us. You know, Vietnam has been in the Philippines a couple of times. I've seen groups from China as well, sort of like trying to replicate the BPO sector here. So Malaysia is also here from, you know, some of the industry expositions and, you know, conventions. I actually see them here benchmarking, because I think we have been able to make it into a standard. We're kind of like the gold standard in a sense as far as outsourcing is concerned.
Yeah, so, absolutely. And we at Outsource Accelerator, we're actually trying to promote the Philippines as like the Swiss banking of outsourcing, because, as you say, it is the gold standard. India is without doubt bigger. And they have been doing it for an equal length of time, but I
actually
really
longer.
Think, yeah, actually, is that right? Yeah, they were.
Yeah, they started like they started probably in terms of the outsourcing industry, they started a decade ahead of us. So if we started like late 90s, early 2000, they started like late 80s, early 90s.
Wow.
So they started a decade ahead of us. So
that must have been the most basic telephone functions, yeah? Because there was no real internet functionality back then.
Yep. The typical switchboard PBX type of system where there's no VoIP and stuff like that. But then again, that's where they started. I think there's a lot of data encoding companies as well in India. That's why, you know, medical transcription has been very, very commoditized because of the Indian sector. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It really has exploded, and not only in terms of sophistication, but now it's exploded in terms of range of functionalities. Before, it was just kind of inbound, outbound call centers. But how have you seen the demand now in terms of different roles, different functionalities? And this is also championed or helped by the fact that the internet is so much more functional now, yeah?
Sure.
What are you seeing in the BP industry of today as opposed to yesteryear?
I think, Derek, I see it as pretty much how you see it as well. That, you know, naturally, as the industry becomes a lot more mature, that's the natural progression, is to upscale, or not upscale, but sort of like upgrade its competency level from the basic, you know, telephone services from inbound and outbound. Now we do a lot of back office, non-voice, high level of, you know, work as well, from recruitment to accounting to legal process and stuff like that. So you know, that's I would think that's really the natural progression in that aspect. I think it's both aspects. First, the maturity of the industry itself, and second is the comfort level of the clients to say, you know what, even if they're in the Philippines, I can trust them. They can do the work for me. There's no difference in hiring a person locally in my office as opposed to if somebody were to if they had, you know, data security issues and stuff like that. Even an employee that you hire directly can actually cheat you as well in that sense. So it's just a matter of making sure that you have protocols, processes to ensure data security, confidentiality, and stuff like that, whether it be in the Philippines or hiring a person in your own backyard.
Yeah, it's very, you know, there is a strange sense very commonly of them and us, or us and them, which separates the Philippines, and people have these concerns about security. But, you know, if you have a corporation of 1,000 people, you've got leak and security issues regardless of who they are, where they're sitting. Just, you know, it is really one and the same, isn't it? You've just got to have your processes in place.
Exactly.
I think also, what are your thoughts on this? But I think when people have a little bit of kickback when you mention outsourcing, and if you mention the Philippines, but especially India, and everyone almost has this sort of visceral reaction, and they say, well, I have been stuck on a phone call to my bank and it's a call center and they don't know what they're doing. And I feel that this is almost a hangover from 20 years ago when everything was so new and processes weren't good. And now I think, you know, things have come so far, but there is just this unfortunate kind of hangover from that early stage when, you know, maybe things weren't delivered as well. Do you see that, you know, things are moving on, or you know, is there still a bit of this prejudice in that, you know, people can't do it the same?
I think, honestly speaking, people are a lot more aware now compared to before. You know, if you were to look at like 10 years ago, you know, if you would ask an American, say, where's the Philippines? They would say, isn't it a jungle somewhere in the, you know, wherever? They might even mistake it for somewhere else, right? Yeah. So I think right now there's a lot more awareness that, you know what, when I call, let's say, American Airlines or whatever, I'm bound to speak to somebody elsewhere. And again, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's all about the process, the systems. Of course, right now with a lot of cloud-based platforms, CRM tools, ticketing systems, and stuff like that, it's just a matter of ensuring that, the organizations that we support have the right process and systems, that, you know, everything is tracked. We have KPIs that, you know, the good and the hard thing, it's kind of like a double-edged sword in a sense, is that in the PPO sector, you're trained really to be to handle things in a fast-paced manner. You know, typical Philippine companies, generally, I'm not talking about all, but generally speaking, they tend to be more laid back, more traditional in running things. And of course, American-based companies or, first world countries, basically, the way they run their companies are a lot more efficient, a lot more effective. So as a Philippine organization, you have to adapt to that to be successful. So you monitor a lot of KPIs, metrics, you do time and motion studies to understand where people are, what the work is being done, and of course, all the tracking mechanisms. So I think those it has improved for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken to, you know, people that have been in the BPO industry in the early days, and they said it really was flying by the seat of the pants back then because there wasn't these systems and structures. And now, again, I remind people that if they buy into the Philippines, then they're actually, the Philippines has expertise in business processes, which means that, especially in the SME market, if an SME comes here, they're probably going to get a huge boost in terms of their processes, in terms of the sophistication of processes, in terms of the process mapping, the KPIs, because, you know, they're partnering with people that have been doing it here for 10, 20, 25 years. And I think people can kind of overlook the level of sophistication that the Philippines has with these functions. Yeah.
Yep. Of course. I agree.
And especially, you know, I also speak to a lot of SMEs and they start outsourcing. And I think very commonly in the West, SMEs are you know, they're a little bit kind of organized chaos and they're not that structured. Whereas when they come here, they realize that actually, especially when you're dealing with third parties, you need more structures, you need better processes. And actually then it pushes a greater level of maturity across the entire company.
I think I agree with you. Actually, that's the reason why we wanted to focus on the SMB market as well. Because, like for example, you know, our company, we're ISO 27001 certified, we're PCI DSS certified, because that's one of the things that's critical for companies in terms of data security and privacy and confidentiality. That's one side of it. But at the same time, you know, if you're in the ISO certification, you're also you're forcing yourself to also be very process driven. So in terms of all aspects from continuous improvement methodologies and stuff like that, and that's one of you're absolutely right about the organized chaos, because normally when an outsourcing company, when an SME company wants to outsource an operation, they typically say, I want to outsource my customer service, but they might not, I'm not saying they all of them are, but they might not have specific KPIs or metrics or specific standards that they base it on. So if they, when they're working with a BPO company offshore that has a lot of extensive experience focusing on these industries, then there's a lot of best practices already that can be applied, right? And that helps these organizations pretty much succeed in, you know, outsourcing customer service properly.
It's incredible, isn't it? And then when you have those structures, when you have the standard operating procedures and things, then that is a launch pad for scalability then, isn't it? Whereas previously SMEs are running things kind of on a day-by-day basis, and those things are hard to scale. So there's incredible kind of value potential there for everyone.
The potential is huge, because if you just look at the number of companies in the, even in the US, if you focus on the US, probably I would say 90% of all I don't know what the specific percentage are, but percentage is, but it's probably around 90% or above. That's all SMEs. You know, the likes of the Citibanks, the Merrill Lynch, and they're like a handful of companies relative to the total the scale of the other SME businesses. Yeah. So it's a huge, huge market potential.
Absolutely.
But to a certain extent, there's also complexity to that. Because you have to understand that if you were to let's say for a BPO company that's just focused on the big players, it's easier to manage a client that has 100-seat operation in one go as opposed to 10 clients that have 10 seats each. Right?
Like the client with 10 seats, you're actually building the process. Whereas if you have a
100-seat operation, it's most likely established already, correct?
That's right, yeah. But I think that is where the BPO industry here is missing a bit of a trick, or certainly the main outsourcing bodies here, like IBPAP, because they're kind of not really opening their arms to the SMEs, because they only really want the big players, or, you know, because there are those efficiencies. And as you say, there's so much opportunity in the SME market for both the Philippines, but also the SMEs who haven't fully explored the full potential of outsourcing.
I think, you know, the problem right now is that there is also a lack of guidance and support for the SME market. Like, just to give an idea, I'm supposed to attend a convention in Australia by May. And I'm not going to mention anything specific, but generally speaking, the funny thing is that, you know, these things that are supported by both the government and, associations here in the Philippines, majority of the participants are all big players. But actually the ones that can really utilize these business development activities in these conventions and conferences are actually the SMEs. Because the big players, they usually have a minimum requirement. Let's say I want a 50-seat operation or something like that, which, you know, these are things that don't come by that easily. Once in a while you probably get a big project, but generally speaking you deal with also SME companies in these expos and conventions. So there has to be more support and awareness of how to support these organizations for the SMEs.
Yeah, absolutely. And but I think it's coming, and that's certainly where we are focusing our attention. We've done a white paper actually on the potential of the market, and across the West, which is about 9 or 10 key countries, there's about 35 million SMEs that employ about 100 million people. And I would suggest that maybe only 0.5%, if that, outsource or really have a full awareness of outsourcing. So I think there's still such a huge potential there, and certainly a potential that the Philippines should turn its sights on, which I'm excited about.
Agreed, agreed. I completely agree. I think, you know, even despite all of these issues with VAT and taxes and, you know, yes, it's a bit of a hindrance in a sense. But generally speaking, I think the industry is very healthy. You know, people have a conception that, you know what, it's on the downward trend already, or it's on the plateau side. I think it may have not. Of course, naturally, as the industry grows, it's difficult to maintain that 15-20% year-on-year growth. So essentially, it's going to there's a natural progression of a lower year-on-year growth percentage. But if you look at it, the scale is still massive. It may not be 15%, if ever it's sort of like declining a bit.
Yeah.
But it's because it's maturing. It's very mature. So it's also difficult to maintain that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in terms of the SME market, it one day it won't be referred to as outsourcing anymore. It'll just be called employment, because people will... Exactly. You know, look for job candidates based on their merits, not on where they're sitting. So, I think eventually it will just become blended into general employment, which again yep. is a super exciting concept for the Philippines. But anyway, thank you so much, Fred, for your time. And you are, of course, from Magellan Solutions. If sure. anyone wants to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Sure. From the US, I guess they could dial our toll free number. It's 1-800-371-6224. And then, we'll be able to handle your calls from there, or you could visit our website, Magellan, magellan-solutions.com.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Fred.
Thank you. Thank you, Derek. Have a good day.
Cool. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. That was Fred Chua of Magellan Solutions. If you want to get in touch with Fred or know any more about this episode, go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/146. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.